Our present meditation is on Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower. First, as usual, a bit of biography. Saint Thérèse was born in Alençon in France on January the 4th, 1873. She decided to become a religious at the ripe old age of 2 years. Then, in 76, 3 years after her birth, she decided to refuse nothing of what the Lord God asks of me. Her mother died on August the 28th, 1877. Our first confession in 79, our first communion in 84. Confirmed in 1884, and then in 87, had an audience with Leo XIII at the age of, 14, I want to become a Carmelite. She enters in 88, makes her profession in 1890, father hospitalized in 89, father dies in 94. And what she calls her night of faith, struggling with the darkness of the spiritual life in 96, and died as it is you on September the 30th, 1897. Now, what we call her posthumous biography. Better called autobiography, written under obedience. She died, we said, in 97. The first printing, called The Story of a Soul, was published on the first anniversary of her death, September 30th, 1898. 2,000 copies were first printed. Then her letters were published in 1910, Her heroicity was declared by the Holy See, by Pope Benedict XV on August 14, 1921. Beatified by Pius XI in 1923. And letters received in Rome up to 1,000 every day of favors received through interceding with Saint Therese. Canonized by the same Pope, Pius XI, on April 17, 1925. Our feast was extended to the Universal Church April 13, 1927. In the same year, she was declared, along with St. Francis Xavier, as the patroness of the missions. In other words, you don't have to go to India to become a patroness of the missions. She also became the second patron of France, along with Saint Joan of Arc, declared by Pope Pius XII, and the consecration of the Basilica at Lisieux took place on July 11, 1954. I have a series of reflections, variously identified. First, what I'm calling the distinctive qualities of her spirituality. And as usual, we count things. First distinctive quality: knows nothing of spiritual pride. As we know, people don't have to possess many gifts to be proud. Oh, how pathetic, for people have nothing almost, or except in their own little minds, but they are proud of. But the most serious form of pride is spiritual pride, the possession of gifts from God, of which then a person credits them to him or herself and is guilty of pride. Nothing interests of spiritual pride. Secondly, she realized that no natural means will achieve sanctity. Only supernatural means. And they are prayer, the sacraments, and cooperating with the grace of God. Thirdly, Saint Therese had no illusions about self-reliance in danger of temptation. And that is, to be stressed over the years. When I was both studying and teaching French, I made sure I would read the French original of her autobiography. Thérèse of Lisieux was a very tempted religious, especially with temptations against the faith. And there is no way she knew she could even cope with these temptations by recognizing them, let alone overcoming them without the grace of God. Fourth distinctive quality. It may sound strange, but she considered the foundations of a strong spiritual life, a lively faith in God's existence. Those were the depths of her temptations. She was an extraordinarily intelligent person. Mind you, as we said, at the age of 2, she decided to become a religious. And the more intellectual a person is, the more gifted in mind, the more such people, there are exceptions, but the more such people are tempted against the faith. And the temptations against the faith are temptations to try to understand, or worse still, comprehend how God is running this world, including our lives. Takes faith to believe without comprehending why. Why, as we've just said, a mother dies when she is 4 years old. Her father dies in 94. And her father, as you know, struggling, had deep emotional problems before he died. One orphaned in infancy, and the father that she loved so deeply for years suffered the most intense internal trials. Fifth quality. She had a practical confidence in God's power and mercy. And the key word is practical. In other words, she acted on her faith in God's power. God's power and His mercy, and especially God's powerful mercy. how we need this confidence in our day. When bishops call to Rome to give an account of their misbehavior, tell the Pope, you stay in Rome, I am staying, friends, and now may God have mercy on Ireland, in Ireland. The mercy of God, powerful. God can, still respecting human freedom, God can work miracles of conversion. He can. He better. I borrowed a copy of Karl Rahner's last thing he published, I remember, an interview with a Lutheran theologian. How appropriate. And Karl Rahner opens his mind on what he thinks. The conscience, the naked conscience of each person's mind is the final judge of everything which Christ revealed and the Pope teaches. If I agree, I accept. If I don't agree, sorry. I am my own master. The most devastating denunciation, attack on Humanae Vitae by Pope Paul VI in 1968 was written by my fellow Jesuit, Karl Rahner. Oh, there better be. What a strange combination. Almighty mercy to convert the proud minds and all in high positions in the church or destroying the faith of millions. Finally, still as a distinctive quality, we'll get to the features in a few moments. I'm calling these qualities. Deeply confident recourse to divine providence. That verb recourse is strange. We speak of trusting in God's providence, so we should. My recourse to God's providence refers to the future. We, thank God, cannot read the future. God knows it. Knows it. He plans it. Confident, God will carry me through. Trials, temptations, pain, sickness, disability, rejection. Temptations shaking me to the depths of my soul. I repeat, confident recourse. Depending on God's providence for my future. Now, what I call the paradox of sanctity, and this is not just the sanctity, what we've come to call the little flower, expressed by her, but as the Pope who both beatified and canonized her made clear, the paradox of sanctity is spiritual maturity means returning to the virtues of spiritual childhood. When Christ, as we know, rebuked his disciples for turning the children away, Master, these are, whatever the Aramaic equivalent was, these are kids. You are the Messiah. The mothers wanted to bring the children to Christ, and the disciples, strong-muscled, pushed the mothers away. Christ rebuked them. Let the little children come unto me, and then the command, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. How well I know, how very well I know, 25 years of teaching, very mentally gifted fellow Jesuits. We grow in, well, size, weight, physically. I take medication. Almost everything I take to protect children from opening, well, that medicine bottle or container of pills to protect this from children. Oh, I push and I twist, won't give in. I see a prayer, I push harder. Finally, the bottle opens. But I told my mothers, Father, I know of no medicine, no container that little children cannot open. We do grow. We grow physically, we grow mentally. And our eyes say, and we grow volitionally. But even as we grow in the natural order, what happens? Harriet, we develop pride on every level of our natural development. Proud of our physical strength. How many times? See a table back home. A new bottle of ketchup on the table. I'm twisting. Can't open. One of my brethren, big muscled man, here, give it to me. You weakling, I'm the weakling. Oh, one twist and it's open. Here. and the same with both our minds and our wills. We become proud because of what we possess. And the most dangerous pride, as we keep saying, is when God gives us extraordinary graces. That's why the greatest danger for a mystic, ordinary gifts of mystical powers. The greatest danger is pride. And indeed, listen to this. As we grow in our virtues, as we grow in the virtue of humility, our greatest danger, oh, Father, please don't say it. Our greatest danger is to become proud. That is why holiness is supernatural sanity. And vice and sin are supernatural insanity. In my 5 years as chaplain at a mental state hospital, while teaching at the local state university, I've said more than once, I was never sure who needed my ministrations more, the bright students at the university or the quote-unquote inmates at the state hospital. The worst insanity is spiritual insanity. Where a person believes, and God will gift us with His grace to become holy. But the worst madness is to be tempted to and give in to the temptation of becoming proud of the gifts, including the graces that God gives us. Back to the paradox of sanctity. Spiritual maturity means returning to the virtues of spiritual childhood, recognizing our constant, total, complete dependence on the grace of God. Now, a one-sentence question and a one-sentence answer in the spirituality of the little flower. What is the basic source of wisdom? The basic source of wisdom is God. God reveals His secrets to little ones. Oh, how many, and I don't hesitate saying geniuses that I've taught over the years. All the knowledge in the world is as a drop of water compared to the Pacific Ocean, compared with what God teaches, all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the depth of mental perception of the little ones. And as we know, we've got to grow in this spiritual childhood. Oh, I need to say this. I've seen little children asserting their self-will. The mother is talking to me, and not to the baby in her arms. The baby begins to cry, or some to scream. The mother stops talking to me, begins talking to the baby. Silence. How we want attention. Of course, when Christ spoke of becoming like little children, he meant, of course, little children who are being properly trained, little children who show their childhood in simplicity, in complete trustfulness. And now I have and now I have 8 features in the life of Saint Therese. And each of these is a quotation from her writings. A priest I've been counseling for years in New England, a great devotee of the little flower. For years, he's been asking his bishop to be released from the diocese and form a community based on the spirituality of Saint Therese of Lisieux. So far, his bishop has not relented. I never tell the priest this, but I think he has so much of the simplicity of the little flower. He does not tell the bishop, "Now, Your Excellency, I want to be released from this diocese, this community." Now the features. First, the little flower declared, "We recognize our own nothingness." What a difference between being nothing and we are. Before God, We are what we were before we became what we now are. Nothing. But the key word is recognizing our own nothing and acting accordingly. And I would add, in the spirit of the great genius, Saint John of the Cross, a Carmelite, one of his names in spiritual theology is the doctor of nihilism, the teacher of nothingness. Second feature, again, in her own words. We expect everything from the goodness of God, exactly as a little child. And note the verb expect. A child will, and I watched it. Sometimes I watched a father's eye. The mother is passing the child over for the father to hold. By the way, do you know that mothers develop strong muscles? Did you know that? In traveling, I sometimes have to carry some heavy equipment. I have a cart. Oh, Father, don't bother. Two hefty muscles of the mother. I'm used, she'll tell you, to carrying children. We expect everything from the goodness of God, exactly as a little child. We presume on those whom we love. Third feature, all quotations, practice the little virtues. Nothing is too small if you are still a little child. Nothing big. I watched in airports. A 2-year-old child can walk. And, well, the child is in, what do they call this? A walking crib, or what do they call those? You know what I mean. A vehicle for transporting little children. The child now can walk. And walking is not enough. Wants to show I'm growing up, and then pushes this vehicle. Maybe have enough strength to push. It goes in one direction, another direction. I watched mothers, well, helping just a little bit. I watched babies push their mother aside. I'm in charge. We begin to develop our self-will, hear it, before we are born. Again, mothers tell me, Father, carrying, say, her fourth or fifth child, I can tell you exactly the character of the baby that I'm carrying, kicking around, asserting its will 5 months before birth. Little virtues. Fourth feature. This, by the way, this fourth feature is the reason for this retreat. All saints owe so much to each other. Saints inspire saints. Saints motivate saints. Saints, I dare say, reproduce saints. There is more wisdom here behind this statement than we may realize. By now, only God knows. Hundreds of thousands of books on the spiritual life, on the subject of prayer, your own library, I didn't count them. Many, many volumes. And they can be helpful. But let me tell you, the best teacher of sanctity is a saint. And whatever else you decide on as a result of this retreat, I beg you to begin, if you've not begun already, to cultivate, I don't just say a devotion to the saints, but reading their lives, reading their writings, and choosing among the saints those who under God you believe would be the most useful in developing your own spiritual life. For me, men like Augustine, like Robert Bellarmine, like Thomas Aquinas, and among women, by the way, needed to say, with the thousands of saints about whom we might have spoken, I chose and I asked our Lord to enlighten me the saints that I thought would be especially valuable for you, and please God, others who may profit from these conferences. Fifth feature of the spirituality of Saint Therese. The lowest placed is the only spot on earth not open to envy. The lowest place is the only spot on earth not open to envy. How he must guard not to expose other people to envy. Envy, as we know, is the sin which is sadness at another person possessing or achieving what I lack or cannot do. hide your gifts. Cover your talents. And that means especially watch your speech. There are times when you have to perforce say things about yourself for the sake of others that may be downed, at least you think they be downed, to your credit. Number 6. I have not tried to seek myself in anything. She didn't say, I've always succeeded. She did say, I have not tried to seek myself in anything. What am I getting out of it? Has nothing to do with the motive for our actions. What does God want? What will benefit others? 7. Consider yourself as a little slave whom everyone has a right to command. Consider yourself as a little slave whom everyone has a right to command. Now remember, this is a young saint speaking, but she was superbly intelligent. She was no fool. Of course, we do not allow ourselves to be pushed around at the cost of sin on the part of others or conform to what others expect, and we in turn offend the mercy of God. This is to be an intelligent, shall I call it, slavery. The natural tendency of the human will is to dominate. All of us, in trifling ways, just some self-assertion, it'd be just a word. God uses other people to keep us humble. Don't fail in the examination that the Lord is giving you. And finally, it is so sweet to serve God in the dark night. We have but this life to live by faith. And this, in my estimate, I've saved it for last because I consider it the most fundamental feature of the spirituality of the little flower. Walking in the night of faith. Yet, our faith, we know, is secure. And the darkness watches. The darkness is not knowing what God wants. Oh no. The darkness is not knowing why God wants it. Why? Why me? Why this? Why now? We believe. God sends us what he knows we need. If the cost is high for our self-will, so be it. Lord Jesus, we beg you for the grace to grow in spiritual childhood, to allow ourselves to be led by your almighty hand, walking hand in hand with you through the dark. But because we are holding your hand and you ours, we are safe. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.